Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, church. It's such a privilege to be here with you this morning. This is the last in our sermon series of Let's Go, and I've been so inspired by the word we've heard over the last couple of months in this series. It's been so good to hear from Pastor Neil and Dan. So today's message is Get Up, Let's Go, It's Time. Just the other week, we had a wedding appointment with Shane and Laura through in Aberdeen, and it was really good to be together and to see the venue and go over all that finer details. And I was kind of hoping in the morning I might get that text, let's go for supper afterwards. But instead, we got the message, do you fancy going to the Aberdeen game tonight? Well, I was quietly, a little bit excited at the prospect of going to my first big match. However, when I entered the stadium, I probably wasn't quite ready for the intimidation that I felt from these Celtic fans. It was something that I'd never experienced before. As the game started, I could see that Aberdeen possibly weren't on their A game. I couldn't see the defence defending. I couldn't see anyone up front desperate to score. Celtic were certainly well up 2-0 at half-time. And during that half-time, I'm not sure what happened in the dressing room with the Aberdeen manager and his players, but I tell you, they came out the second half fighting. They were all over Celtic and they brought the score back to 2-2. I could see that they were on purpose, that they were intentional, and that they were out in the field doing what they wanted to do. They wanted to get that goals in the net. Now, unfortunately, they didn't win. They lost 3-2 that night. But it was good to see the perspective of them coming back out fighting at half time. And we are all ready to move from success to significance. Daring to believe what you ultimately leave behind will be far more important than anything you could have achieved in the first half of your life. And I'm ready to see what this looks like. You see, I'm ready. In 2022, I just felt this message has been on my heart for a couple of months now. And I just felt God saying that it was time to take half time. Why not reflect now in early 22 rather than regretting later on in the year? If I had made that changes then, I could have made 2022 more significant for me and my family. We've got three main headings to focus on today. And the first of them is passion. And we're going to read from Luke 22, verses 39 to 44. Jesus left the upper room with his disciples and, was his habit, went to the Mount of Olives, his place of secret prayer. There he told the apostles, keep praying for strength to be spared from the severe tests of your faith that is about to come. Then he withdrew from them a short distance to be alone. Kneeling down, he prayed, Father, if you are willing to take this cup of agony away from me, but no matter what, your will must be mine. Jesus called for an angel of glory to strengthen him, and the angel appeared. He prayed even more passionately, like one being sacrificed, until he was in such intense agony of spirit that his sweat became drops of blood, dripping onto the ground. He was praying earnestly, so passionately, that he sweat drops of blood. He wanted to be in God's will. Verse 44, he was in agony. He was struggling for a victory. He was reaching out desperate. You see, Jesus knew what was ahead. He knew what the days ahead held, not only for him, but for his disciples, for his followers. What is it that you are passionate about today? Have you ever prayed so passionately that you've been crying out to God, both loudly and physically crying, perhaps for a loved one, crying out for their healing because you love them so much and you want to see a miracle? It doesn't always have to be for healing. It can be to see a real move of God in your life. And I was remembering back one night, I was out a message delivering something, and we had a situation going on, and I was in the car, and I was just praying out to God, God, we need to see a move in our life, and God, this has been going on for a while, and I want an answer tonight. I need to see that we are in your will and that you have got a plan for us as a family. And let me tell you, half an hour later, one phone call changed that whole situation. God came through. He heard the desperate cries of me. Are you passionate about your career, your uni course, your church? What drives you to do what you do each day? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He's not asking us to give up what we are passionate about. Rather, he is asking us to keep him as the main focus. Whatever we do or are passionate about must reflect back to Jesus. When we place our passion for Christ above all else, this won't be so hard at all. Our love for him will automatically overflow. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. Jesus was passionate about people, and he's passionate about you. Jesus healed the sick. His compassion for people led to miracles. He spent time with people because he wanted them to know who God was. He chose that 12 disciples so that when he died, he knew they were he had empowered them to keep sharing God's word. And our second P this morning is purpose. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, for my determined purpose is that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness and even to his death. What is your purpose in life? Where are you at? What was your purpose if you were to look halfway back? Now, I've been reading a book called Half Time, and it's really let me have a lot of insight reflecting back to my halfway back from this point today. Halfway back, I had just become a young mum. I was already a wife, and I was now a mum to Chloe. And that was my purpose. My purpose at the time was to care and look after her and to help run the house and be a wife to Stephen. But that wasn't my sole purpose. God says that he's got so much more for us. He says that he's got an ordained purpose for each one of us. Now, people have asked me after September last year when Chloe got married, what do you feel your purpose is now? Do you think things have changed? Well, as you know, Laura gets married this year as well. And my purpose hasn't changed. I'm still a mum, albeit to them that looks different now. But my purpose is more than a mum, more than a wife, more than an employee. Not that I take for granted these three things, but God says he's got so much more. And I'm excited to see, because I choose to put God first, what purpose that looks like to him, where he's going to lead me, where he wants me to serve. Paul, as it says at the start, for my determined purpose. In these verses, he is impressing on us the importance of being purposeful to know him more, so that we know Christ savingly is more valuable than anything else in this world. You can know things about Jesus, the facts and the things we read about him, but then we can know him as our personal Saviour. Then and only then will we find our true purpose in him. We know him in our trusting of him. We know him in our delighting of him. we know how valuable he is in all his works. And when we truly understand this, we can understand the purpose that he has for us. Jesus did so much in 3 years. If each one of us achieved what Christ achieved in 3 years, even in 3 days or 3 weeks, look how much ground we could cover in our families, in our workplaces, in our churches, and in our community. We need to find our purpose in Christ. And our third P today is power. And we're going to read from Acts 1 verse 8. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will be seized with power. You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. Power is something we cannot live without. How often is someone shouting in your house for a phone charger? And whilst I was preparing this message, I came across a story by Bill Crowder, who writes for the Daily Bread. They had experienced a heavy snowfall, and it meant that there had been a power cut across their state. As they huddled around the battery radio, the presenter said the following. The following churches are closed due to a lack of power. This immediately caught my attention. Churches can be closed due to a lack of physical power, but we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is present regardless the state if we've got lights or no lights. Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit as a gift. Dunamis is a Greek definition of power. It is associated with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon a person, giving that person the supernatural power capable of accomplishing the task Jesus assigns. When we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, it sets us up, but it also sets us apart. It is no longer about us, but rather it's about Christ's power working through us. Acts 2 verse 16. This is a fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. For God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. In verse 22, people of Israel, listen to the facts. Jesus the Victorious was a man on a divine mission whose authority was clearly proven. For you know how God performed many powerful miracles, signs and wonders through him. This man's destiny was prearranged, for God knew that Jesus would be handed over to you to be crucified and that you would execute him on the cross by the hands of lawless men. Yet it was part of his predetermined plan. God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. Peter set out to explain the miraculous sights and sounds were proof that God has set down the Holy Spirit, as the prophet Joel had foretold. More fundamentally, he set out to show that the coming of the Holy Spirit was proof that Jesus had been received up to God's right hand in glory. In delivering this message, he must show that the coming of the Holy Spirit was proof of the sin of those who had rejected him. Peter begins to speak of Jesus. The coming of the Holy Spirit could not take place until Jesus was glorified. It is important to see that God had not only raised him from the dead, but he had also exalted him to the highest place in glory. Through Peter's preaching that day, 3,000 was added to the kingdom of God. And in John 14, we read, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you are used to being left, feeling abandoned or bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Verse 29, I've told you this ahead of time before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. I'll not be talking with you much more like this because the chief of the godless world is about to attack. But don't worry, he has nothing on me, no claim on me, but so that the world may know how thoroughly I love the Father, I am crying out my Father's instructions right down to the last detail. Get up, let's go, it's time to leave here. Here we read Jesus talking about his Holy Spirit that would enable the disciples to live the Christian life when he left. We can't have purpose, passion and power without his empowering, his help, his Holy Spirit that enables us to keep getting up and keep going because it's time. He is the perfect gift that keeps on giving. He's the purpose, he's the passion and he's the power in your life. So to recap, passion, what are you going to be passionate or compassionate about? What needs to change? And our purpose, can you shift your focus to be on purpose, to be able to see who you are in God's eyes and believe that God has an ordained purpose for you and your life? And power, are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work within you and do all that God calls you to be? Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that those who have heard these words, Lord, of you, Lord, that each one knows that you are the Almighty, Lord, that you know each one has got purpose in life, Lord, and through your empowering of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you can touch each one right now where they are. Lord, we just pray over each person, each family that's represented. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you that they have come under your word this morning, Lord. And we believe that you have got good things ahead for them when they find their true purpose in you. Amen.